One sat alone beside the highway, begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his old rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee. When Jesus comes...
It's time again for the Family Altar program with Evangelist Lester Roloff.
When Jesus comes, all the tears are dried away.
And here now is Brother Roloff.
And fills the life with glory. For all is changed when Jesus comes to stay.
Turn with me, please, to the book of Ezra. The book of Ezra. We're going to be in both books, Ezra and Nehemiah, for the first message in the Sunday school hour and the Bible teaching hour this morning. I call your attention to chapter 4. Chapter 4. There's so many things in the Bible that remind me of what's happening today. And, of course, the writer said there's nothing new under the sun, and God requireth that which is past. And so we're going to repeat, and we are repeating today, going through today what they've gone through in days gone by. We see a glimpse of revival, building walls, work. And I think we'll choose for our text today, and there are a lot of good things in these two books, but in the fourth chapter, beginning at verse 2, then they came to Zerubbabel and to the chief of the fathers and said unto them, let us build with you. Let us build with you. Now, that's a meeting of the National Council of Churches. That's right. We're going to all work together. We're just one, you know, and let us build with you. The only thing wrong, they were going to get inside like termites so they could bore in and tear down. And so he said, let us build with you, for we seek your God as you do. We're all going to the same place, you know. I mean, we might take a little different route, but you know, we're all going to go to the same place. You've heard that, haven't you? For we seek your God as ye do, and we do sacrifice unto him since the days of Esarhaddon, king of Asher, which brought us up hither. But Zerubbabel and Jeshua and the rest of the chief of the fathers of Israel said unto them, ye have nothing to do with us to build an house unto our God, but we ourselves together will build unto the Lord God of Israel, as King Cyrus, the king of Persia, hath commanded us. Now, folks, there are some things we need to know as workers, and that is, we're going to have to build together with the Lord. We're workers together with him. We cannot compromise for support. We cannot compromise for the matter of just getting something done. He said, we ourselves will have to build. Now, the Bible is so very clear about God's people doing God's work in God's way. Now then, turn with me a little further into the book of Ezra, chapter 6 and verse 3. The latter part of the verse, let the house be builded, the place where they offered sacrifices, and let the foundations thereof be strongly laid. Let them be strongly laid. You know, we've been in this work now for many, many years. Fact is, when I came to Corpus in 1944, we started actually a rescue mission, which led into the City of Refuge, and which then led into the various ministries that God has given us, until I feel that we're just now finishing the foundation for a tremendous work. Back yonder, when I started preaching, the convictions we have now would fit a lot better than they do now in the world. Amen. I mean, so far as picture shows and illicit dress and all that wasn't... You didn't see anything like that. Right. I mean, there's no problem. I didn't ever have to preach against that in our church. In the first church I pastored at Prairie Grove or Shiloh or Navarre Mills or Purdon or Trinidad or even Magnolia Park. I mean, there wasn't any dope in those days. There wasn't any immorality. There wasn't any juvenile delinquency. There wasn't any little girls running off from home. Why, if a little girl had been missing some morning, everybody in the country, we'd probably closed out the church to go look for her. I mean, that'd have been the most tragic thing. Now then, the policemen say, well, listen, we call them up and say, would you find one of our little girls? Find one of your little girls. We haven't got time to run after that bunch of rabbits. They're everywhere. We can't be chasing little old girls all the time. And boys, there are just thousands of them running loose. That's what they say.
That's right.
I tell you, folks, we've come to a sad, sordid, satanic, sinful, seducive time. With our young people. And that's the reason it don't make a difference how hard it is for us as workers. It don't make a difference what we have to give up or give out or get rid of. We're helping somebody to get right and live and go to heaven. And we own the missionary field now. All right, verse 7. Let the work of this house of God alone, let it alone. Let the governor of the Jews and the elders of the Jews build this house of God in his place. Turn to the 8th chapter. I think we ought to stop at the 7th chapter, verse 26, and show you some very drastic things, Ed. Whosoever will not do the law of thy God, in other words, who's not going to go by the rules and regulations, and the law of the king, let judgment be executed speedily upon him, whether it be unto death, or to banishment, or to confiscation of goods, or to imprisonment. Sound pretty hard, didn't it? In other words, if you're not going to do by the law of God, then say the law of man now. And these are not my rules and regulations. These come out of the Word of God. And separation is necessary if we're going to gain the victory and have real spiritual victory. All right? Ezra chapter 8, 21, 22. Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava that we might afflict ourselves before our God to seek of him a right way for us and for our little ones and for all our substance. For I was ashamed to require of the king a band of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy in the way, because we'd spoken unto the king, saying, the hand of our God's upon all them for good that seek him. Now, you know what he said? He said, I had bragged on God so long and so much, and had God elevated to such a position, that when we got in trouble, I was ashamed to go ask the king to give him an army. He said, I just was embarrassed and humiliated. Now, if I'd have gone to the king and said, say, could you kind of give us a big army and some fine soldiers and a big war machine and come? And he'd have said, say, I thought your God would take care of y'all. I thought y'all was making it fine. What happened to your God? And that's what the world's saying to America right now. What happened to y'all's God? And I tell you, that's what the world's saying to a bunch of you mothers and dads out there. What happened to your children? And what happened to your home? I tell you what's happened to us. We have gone the way of the world, and the preachers haven't warned us and admonished us, and they haven't stood like they ought to stand in the pulpit. And I'm not blaming anybody but the preachers, Brother Olaf and the rest of the preachers of this generation. If we'd hold the line and hold up the Word of God and tell people what the Lord says, I believe there'd be a difference. The hand of our God is upon all them for good that seek him, but his power and his wrath is against all them that forsake him. So we fasted and besought our God for this, and he was entreated of us. He heard us. You know what they did? Instead of going to the king, instead of going to the government, instead of running up to Congress, instead of signing out a petition and getting a bunch of people to sign it, they said, we'll just go to fasting and praying, and God heard them and came down and delivered them and gave them victory. All right, let's go to the 9th chapter. Chapter 9 and verse 5. And at the evening sacrifice, I rose up from my heaviness, and having rent my garment and my mantle, I fell upon my knees and spread out my hands unto the Lord my God and said, oh my God, I am ashamed. Oh my God, I am ashamed and blessed to lift up my face to thee. My God, for our iniquities are increased over our head and our trespasses drawn up under the heavens. We've gone under. That's it. Yeah. Trespasses are above our head. Gone up to the heavens. Since the days of our fathers have we been in a great trespass unto this day. For our iniquities have we, our kings and our priests, our kings and priests, political leaders and spiritual leaders, been delivered in the hand of the kings of the land to the sword, captivity, spoil, confusion of face, as it is this day. And now, for a little space, grace hath been showed from the Lord our God to leave us a remnant to escape and to give us a nail in his holy place, that our God may lighten our eyes and give us a little reviving in our bondage. For we were bondmen, yet our God hath not forsaken us in our bondage, but hath extended mercy unto us in the sight of the kings of earth. When I read verses like that, I think about the girl's home, the alcoholic home. We were bondmen. We were bondmen. We were chained. Yet our God hath not forsaken us in our bondage. God's raised up these homes to help people and to encourage them. Now turn to chapter 10, verse 4. Arise, for this matter belongeth unto thee. We also will be with thee. Be of good courage and do it. Be of good courage and then do something about it. Now then, let's go to the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 2. These two books deal with many of the same things, and they deal with what we're dealing with today. Now, there's a man by the name of Nehemiah. He was the king's cupbearer. And he got a word from by Hanani from up in Jerusalem that Jerusalem's walls were down like they are today. Social walls, moral walls, spiritual walls, financial walls, home walls, educational walls. They're all down. They're all down. I mean, anybody's got a thimbleful of sense knows what I'm talking about. They're all down. The walls are down. We don't have any protection anymore. Everything's fallen down in our generation. And I'm not trying to see things that are not there, but same thing happened back there. So he started fasting and weeping and praying. And the king said, something wrong. You're in sorrow, aren't you? And he said, yes, sir. He said, well, why? He said, you got a good job, haven't you? I'm a cupbearer. You live in the palace. What else could you want? He said, I want protection for my people. He said, they're exposed, no matter what I have here. I'm not satisfied with all the furnishings and the benefits that I have here in your palace as long as my people are starving to death and the walls are down. He said, well, what do you want? He said, I want to go home on a leave of absence. And he said, well, all right, I'll give it to you. And he told him how long he wanted to be gone. He said, now, what else? He said, I want lumber. I want some lumber. I got to build the walls. And so Nehemiah got all of that. I mean, at the risk of his life. The king said, all right. Because Nehemiah had been talking to the Lord about it, and the Lord can handle a king. And so the king said, all right, just go ahead and come back when you get through. And so he went up there, and he went out one night. Nehemiah went out one night, got him a man or two with him, and he said, now, we're not going to make any announcements at all, but we're going to survey the situation. And so they walked that night through the rumbles. I mean, just through the jungles of decayed walls and fallen walls. And I guess he could see the low shacks and maybe heard some little children crying themselves to sleep that night because the enemy had overrun them and stolen everything they had and took their food and meals and everything away from them. And there they were, little old houses, I imagine, window lights out and the doors caved in. And it was a sorry sight from what it used to be when God blessed Jerusalem. Because when Nehemiah knew it, they had the big walls up, they had protection, they had provision. Not anymore. You know why? It's because Jerusalem turned her back on God. I mean, she said, I just think we better be like the heathens all around us. And they began to intermarry. And they began to flirt with everything, including the devil. And then what happened? The enemy came and overrun them, and God exposed them to the enemy. And now Nehemiah's back to say, we must build and rebuild the walls. And so he came back in, and then he said, let us rise up and build. Now, you don't ever build anything for God without great opposition. The man that I bought this land, that we bought this land from, for $92,500, he laughed about it. He said, now, do you suppose that we put up some money? I forgot how many thousand dollars. But he said, you reckon? Said, how do you want to pay it? Said, cash. And, of course, we didn't have any cash. But we set the date. And so, sure enough, but he thought that was kind of funny, really, that with no money, and with just no way to get it so far as rich people. And yet, people don't understand that the Lord is in this work. I mean, this is God's work. This is not my work. I'm just tied on to it for a while. But then, you remember, I bought 10 acres and two tents over here in Corpus many years ago. And the people wanted me to start a church. And so, paid $75,000 for it. Put up Mr. W.L. Dent, I remember that, put up a few thousand dollars. and borrowed that. Three men, myself and two other men, got some money together. I think we put up $5,000, divided among ourselves. And the man, I never forget, he laughed when my real estate turned him over the money. He said, you know, when you got paid, he said, so-and-so. He said, how? Cash. And so the Lord, he saw us through that. And then people said, we're very stupid to pay $75,000, 10 acres and 2 tenths. And yet 7 years later, 5 acres of it sold for $75,000. You see, God makes those of us who listen to Him good businessmen. And you don't have any real sense unless God gives it to you. And the only mistakes I've made since I've been a preacher have been those mistakes that I didn't get God's counsel on. I never have made a mistake trusting the Lord. But I've made mistakes when I didn't trust Him. And I'd be a fool not to say that I have. But here comes the opposition. So notice, same thing today, but in the fourth chapter. But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth. He got mad about that. He took great indignation and mocked the Jews and spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, what do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? Are they going to try to build up them old walls over Jerusalem? Are they going to try to bring something up from the rubbish? That's what the world says about it. And I don't mean to be ugly about it. We take alcoholics and men and women just kindly rubbish because the old devil made them like that. We just found them out there in the wreck and the ruin of the world and running in hippie hives and dope dives and immoral and abortions and immorality and everything you can think about. And yet Jesus loves them. And we love them. The only difference between them and we sometimes, the world's so unkind. It's so unkind. I mean, it's so mean and so unforgiving. And the only difference between them and a lot of other people is they got caught and somebody else didn't. And so I ain't gonna need you feeling so self-righteous about anything here. I mean, don't swell up in pride. Don't act like a toad. I mean, just go ahead. And all of us have sinned enough to take everybody to hell anyhow. And we better realize that. And we come in here and say, well, I'm not as bad as somebody else. And I'm not. Well, I know, but you're bad enough to go to hell without Christ. I'll tell you, that's pretty bad. Huh? That's pretty bad. When you get bad enough, you're born bad enough to go to hell. And we need to preach that to our people today. And so old Tobiah, Ammonite, by him said, and he said, even that which they built, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. Little old fox will tear the thing down. Hear, O our God, for we're despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them for prey in the land of captivity, and cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. So, here we are, built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together under the half thereof, for the people had a mind to strike. No, to work. There it is. Now, that's the challenge I want to give. And so, the Bible said that it was all joined together under the half there, for the people had a mind to work. Now, I want to show you something else. The enemy's there. They're going to tear him down if they can. It came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped. The breaches began to be stopped. They stop in the holes. Then they were very wroth, mad, and conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. Amen. They didn't just stop with the prayer meeting. They said, we'll pray and watch at the same time. We'll be ready for them when they get here. And Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there's much rubbish. So that we're not able to build a wall. Much rubbish. That's what we have to get rid of first. The rubbish. The garbage. Did you know that that's the thing that we fight the most and get the most opposition is to getting rid of the rubbish? You see, people don't realize that rock and roll is rubbish and television sets rubbish and newspapers and magazines and filth and the things that people eat. People think it's a little strange because we have old-fashioned convictions and Bible convictions about keeping our girls well. There's no honor in being sick if you can stay well. There's no need in being sick. If you keep your system clean, you won't be sick. There's no need in being sick. There's no need crippling through life when you could... there's no need limping when you could be leaping. Amen? Now, he said we've got to get rid of the rubbish or we'll never build the wall. Let's read on. Verse 13, therefore said I in the lower places, behind the wall and on the higher places, I even set the people after their families with the swords. Swords and spears and bows. And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and the rest of the people, be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons and daughters, your wives. And you now, isn't that what we're doing here? You know what he said? That's a great text. He said, remember the Lord and fight. And just because you remember the Lord, that doesn't take you out of the fight. That puts you in it. And when the preachers... Paul said, I fought. He said, I've fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I've finished the course. And the Bible said we'd endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage, he said. Now then, let's look a little further. Verse 17, they which builded on the wall, they that bear burdens, were those that laid it, everyone with one of his hands wrought in the work, and with the other hand held a weapon. Hammer in one hand, sword in another. For the builders, every one had his sword girded by his side, and so builded. And he that sounded the trumpet was by me. And I said, the nobles and the rulers and the rest of the people, the work is great and large. Oh, isn't that true? We're separated from the wall, one far from another. In what place, therefore, ye hear the sound of the trumpet? Resort ye thither unto us. Our God shall fight for us. So we labored. Now then, this will give us a picture. So we labored in the work, and half of them held the spears from the rising of the morning till the stars appeared. And that's a long day. Evidently, the unions hadn't started at that time. Probably wasn't in the welfare department in those days. And they said they just started in the morning, notice, from the rising of the morning. That means, brother, before the sun came up. Till the stars appeared. Brother, when the stars come out and you can see them, it's dark. Amen. They had a long day. Likewise, at the same time, said I unto the people, let every one with his servant lodge within Jerusalem, that in the night they may be a guard to us and labor on the day. So neither I, nor my brethren, nor my servants, nor the men of the guard which followed me, none of us put off our clothes, saving that everyone put them off for washing. Now then, go to the sixth chapter. They're going to call a summit conference here. Notice who's going to call it. Now it came to pass when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem and Arabian and the rest of the Arabian and the rest of our enemies heard that I had built the wall, and there was no breach left therein, though at that time I had not set up the doors upon the gates, that Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me mischief. And I sent messengers unto them, saying, I am doing a great work so that I cannot come down. I won't be there. Y'all go ahead and have your conference, but I won't be present. Why should the work cease whilst I leave it and come down to you? Yet they sent unto me four times after this sort, and I answered them after the same manner. Amen. Now then, verse 7. Thou hast also appointed prophets to preach of thee at Jerusalem, saying, there is a king in Judah, and now shall it be reported to the king according to these words. Come now, therefore, and let us take counsel together. Then I sent to them, saying, there are no such things done as thou sayest. They accused them, see, going to rebel and get out and enlarge their king. But thou feignest them out of thine own heart. You made these up. For they're all afraid, made us afraid, saying, their hands shall be weakened from the work, that it be not done. Now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands.
We're happy you joined us today for the Family Altar program with Evangelist Lester Roloff and the message, Building the Lord's Work. If you'd like to receive this message on a CD, simply ask for offer number RO2542. It is important that we cover shipping and handling, so we ask for a gift of at least $10, and we'd like to have today's date. By the way, this CD will be sent to you with that gift of $10, which By the way, just it takes care of shipping and handling. So if you can give a further gift for the ministry, it would be greatly appreciated. To order by credit card, call toll-free 1-800-772-7507. The address is the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78403. Special offer for the month of April is Oh to Be Like Thee, a collection of songs by various artists. Some of the songs are Jesus Means All to Me, Down the Sawdust Trail, I Want to Do Thy Will, O Lord, He Knows Just What I Need, The Fire Song, Heaven Came Down and Glory Filled My Soul, and several more. Now, when requesting this CD, asked for offer number 310, that's 310, and enclose an offering of $12. We accept credit card offers, so dial toll-free 1-800-772-7507, or you may write us at the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78403. Again, that offer is Oh to Be Like Thee, and the order number is 310. Again, the address is the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78403. Or to use your credit card, dial toll-free, 1-800-772-7507. This is Gene Price speaking for the staff, wishing you all have a good day, and we're looking forward to being with you again here on the Family Altar Program.
The strangers to God, His grace and His love were gathered by blue Galilee to listen with joy to words from the lips of the stranger who sat by the sea. They came and they were blessed. He gave the weary rest. He made the blinded eyes to see. He fed the hungry soul, and He made the wounded whole by the waters of blue Galilee.